Good afternoon, and thanks for the introduction, Angus. Again, I'll be discussing landscape and climatic factors affecting tarnished plant bug, Lygus linearis, infestations, and cotton. I'll briefly talk about tarnished plant bug biology relevant to our study. Adult and nymph are pictured here. Tarnished plant bugs have a broad host range which span across the entire United States. They have over 300 primary weedy hosts. Several of the common primary weedy hosts of plant bugs in Virginia are pictured here, daisy fleabane and common ragweed. Populations tend to feed and reproduce on these primary weedy hosts until they senesce midsummer, then will migrate into secondary cultivated hosts like cotton. Overwinter as adults with a fairly short generation of 33 days. So during milder winters, plant bugs have the potential to break diapause early, begin reproducing in primary weedy hosts. So tarnished plant bugs cause injury to a variety of cotton fruiting structures, which are present simultaneously throughout the growing season. These include squares, flowers, and even small bulls. In this aerial photograph of one of our plant bug field trials in Virginia, on the right, highlights significant yield loss caused by plant bugs when cotton's exposed to higher infestation levels with a later planting date. So the tarnished plant bug has been a devastating pest in cotton across the Mid-South and parts of Texas for the past several decades. However, we've only recently started observing economically damaging populations of plant bugs in Virginia since 2013. This figure shows the percent of acres treated for plant bugs in Virginia from 1996 to 2017. And we can see that since 2016, close to 100% of acres have been treated for plant bugs in Virginia, with an average of 2 applications per acre. So this has just recently become a very serious problem for cotton producers in the Mid-Atlantic. So our objectives of this study was to first measure the spatial, temporal abundance of plant bugs across Virginia, and secondly, investigate potential landscape and climatic factors increasing infestation risk. Some of our hypotheses included proximity of known cultivated hosts, such as pre-tasseling corn, maybe serving as a source of plant bugs into fruiting cotton early in the season. Areas with an elevated minimum temperature may be increasing the number of plant bug generations of reproductive potential and alternative hosts in cotton. And areas with higher amounts of agricultural land, areas with higher amounts of landscape heterogeneity, so different landscape types, and areas with higher amounts of landscape fragmentation, so smaller patch area or less contiguous landscapes, all increase infestation risk. So for our first objective, to measure the spatial and temporal abundance of plant bugs across the state, we sampled 22 representative cotton fields in 8 Virginia counties in 2017. In 2018, we sampled an additional 34 fields. And for each of these fields, we sampled them weekly for a 9-week sampling period from mid-June to mid-August. And for each field, we sampled them using sweep net and drop cloth sampling and an X configuration across each field. I calculated plant bug density by summing the total number of adult and nymphal captures for each of these sampling techniques. This heat map shows the spatial and temporal distribution of plant bugs across Virginia in 2017. These first 3 maps show mean plant bug density averaged over a 3-week time interval. This bottom right-hand map represents our seasonal means over our entire 9-week sampling period. The dots in red represents fields that average at or above the action spray threshold for plant bugs, which is 8 adults or nymphs per 100 sweeps. We can see that infestations increased throughout the season in 2017 and peaked in our final 3 weeks of sampling from August 7th through August 27th. Also, if we just look at our seasonal means in the bottom right-hand corner, we see this clustering of infestations towards the eastern side of the state. So this is the same heat map for the 34 fields we sampled in 2018. Again, if we look at the seasonal means in the bottom right-hand corner, we see this clustering of infestations towards the eastern side of the state. And we also saw much higher infestations early in the season in 2018, right when cotton first began squaring or putting on small fruit. So for our second objective, to investigate potential landscape and climatic factors increasing infestation risks, we use GIS to create 1.5 and 3-kilometer buffers around each of our focal cotton fields. We extracted landscape data from the National Agricultural Statistics Software CropScape layer and weather data from NASA's Daymet layers, and then assessed the composition of these raster layers within our 1.5 and 3-kilometer buffers. Unfortunately, the 2018 version of these raster layers won't be made available until later this month, so I'll just be presenting our 2017 results this afternoon. We also calculated landscape metric factors, including landscape heterogeneity and fragmentation, in a program called FragStats. We used principal component analysis to help us select significant factors, then modeled these significant factors using generalized linear models for aggregated factor effects and generalized linear mixed models for single factor effects over time. So this table and corresponding dot plot on the right represents our generalized linear model results when we analyze landscape and climatic factors within a 1.5 kilometer buffer. And this low factor TBB column in the table represents plant bug season totals when we sampled fields surrounded by lower amounts of a given factor, in this case corn. And likewise, the high factor TBB column highlighted in green represents plant bug season totals for fields that were surrounded by higher amounts of a given factor. So in this case, when we sampled cotton fields surrounded by higher amounts of corn within a 1.5 kilometer buffer, these fields on average had a 30% higher plant bug season total than fields surrounded by lower amounts of corn. And this is represented visually in the dot plot on the right and was significant based on our aggregated model. The opposite was true for cotton, which had 26% less plant bug season totals when we sampled fields surrounded by higher amounts of cotton. And this may indicate that more contiguous cotton landscapes are less susceptible to infestation risks in Virginia. Higher amounts of barren land increase season totals by over 18%, which likely harbor a lot of primary weedy hosts of plant bugs. Areas with an elevated minimum temperature significantly increase season totals by over 44%. The opposite was true with areas with an elevated maximum temperature. And all of our landscape metric variables, so areas with higher amounts of agricultural land, areas with higher amounts of landscape fragmentation and heterogeneity, all increased plant bug season totals. So this is a similar table and dot plot for our generalized linear model results when we analyze landscape and climatic factors within a 3 kilometer buffer. And if we look at the percent difference column, we see very similar trend observed on the 1.5 kilometer buffer slide on the previous slide, with most of these factors having an even more pronounced effect on plant bug season totals. So due to time, I'll only present several of our mixed model results this afternoon. This line chart shows minimum temperature effects on plant bugs in cotton within a 1.5 kilometer buffer. And the chart on the left shows adult densities normalized to 100 sweet mat samples in the y-axis for each of our 9 weeks of sampling in the x-axis. This brown dotted line represents our action threshold for sweep net sampling, 8 adults or nymphs for 100 sweeps. And this green line shows adult densities for areas with an elevated minimum temperature, specifically 10 to 11.6 degrees Celsius. Likewise, this black line represents adult densities for fields with a lower minimum temperature, 9.2 to 10 degrees Celsius. We can see for fields with a higher minimum temperature, adult densities were higher throughout the season, and different in weeks 7 and 9 based on our mixed model least squares means test. We saw a similar trend for nymphal densities, which were higher throughout the season and above the action threshold for the majority of the season as well, and different in weeks 3 and 9. And we calculated nymphs using drop cloth sampling. And so these preliminary results may suggest that areas with an elevated minimum temperature may be increasing plant bug reproduction in alternative hosts in cotton. So this is a similar line chart showing corn effects on plant bugs in cotton within a 3 kilometer buffer. And again, on the left chart, we have adult densities normalized to 100 sweep net samples in the y-axis for each of our 9 weeks of sampling. The green line in this line chart shows adult densities for fields surrounded by higher amounts of cotton, specifically 50 to 270 hectares. Likewise, the black line represents adult densities for fields surrounded by lower amounts of cotton, 5 to 50 hectares. And we can see for fields that were surrounded by higher amounts of corn, adult densities were higher throughout the entire season, with greater differences observed early in the season. We saw a similar trend with nymphal densities calculated using drop cloth sampling, with a nymphal peak observed mid-season. And this mid-season nymphal peak is likely the offspring of this early season adult peak we saw on the left chart. So these preliminary results may suggest that pre-tasseling corn may be a source of plant bugs into cotton early in the season in Virginia. So to quickly sum up our results, again, we found that corn may increase plant bug density in fruiting cotton, which agrees with some of the previous literature that's been done in the Mid-South. We also found that more contiguous cotton landscapes may reduce infestation risk. So when we sampled cotton fields surrounded by higher cotton area, we tended to find lower plant bug numbers. Areas with an elevated minimum temperature may increase plant bug reproduction in alternative hosts in cotton. In areas with higher amounts of agricultural land, higher amounts of landscape heterogeneity, and areas with higher amounts of landscape fragmentation, all significantly affected plant bug immigration into cotton. If you remember this heat map that I showed on previous slides, we observed this clustering of infestations on the eastern side of the state for both years of our study. This may be a result of elevated minimum temperatures due to the proximity of these fields to this very large body of water, as well as higher amounts of landscape heterogeneity and fragmentation observed on the eastern side of the state. So some of the applications of this research: cotton producers can be aware of infestation risks, therefore make informed management decisions on whether to invest more inputs into plant bug management, whether that's scouting or applying chemicals at the established action thresholds, and also just give us a better understanding of some of the ecological drivers fueling the sudden increase in plant bug numbers in Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic. So for our future research, we plan to continue modeling our 2018 data for an additional 34 fields and confirm the preliminary results I presented this afternoon, and also possibly design further experiments where we look at plant bug overwintering behavior in the Mid-Atlantic. So when are they breaking diapause in Virginia? How many generations are plant bugs cycling through before they immigrate into cultivated hosts like cotton? And also possibly sample for plant bugs in other C4 and C3 cultivated crops surrounding cotton. So I'd like to thank all of our funding sources, as well as all of my advisors and collaborators, Roger Schurth, Anders Husseth, and Sally Taylor, as well as all the graduate students and lab technicians that helped with this research. Be happy to take any questions. Dominic? So the question was, did we observe any ragweed in the fields that we visited, that we sampled? And the first year of the study, we tried to start sampling for weeds on the margin of fields. And since we had so many fields to sample each week, 100 miles apart, stretching across the state, it was really hard to, we were limited with time and resources. We did collect some weed samples in 2017, and we did find a decent amount of ragweed. But in 2018, we didn't sample for weeds just because there was so much variability and sometimes access to the margins of fields, it just was made it impossible to sample. That would be really interesting data to have, though, but we just didn't have the resources to sample for weeds. Yeah, yep. All of the fields that we sampled were pretty weed free for the most part. Scott? Yeah, of course. Really very, very, very.
A source, I would argue that your pre-tasseling data might suggest, instead of that being a source, that it's actually funneling the adults into cotton because they really don't prefer the corn at that time.
Exactly.
So I'm suggesting that could be an
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think pre-tasseling corn is just the alternative at the time. It's with our data, I don't think we'll be able to definitively say, plant bugs are moving from soybean or wheat to soybean to cotton. Plant bugs are moving from pre-tasseling corn to cotton definitively without sampling both crops simultaneously. But I think with this data, with 60 fields, we can have some good leads possibly for future studies. Yes, sir. That's correct. Yep.
Do you have any sense of the average size of these fields, and was it fairly uniform depending upon the part of the state you were in?
That's an excellent question. So the question is, where's the sampling size, and were the fields fairly uniform that we sampled? And what we did was, some fields were you know, relatively, especially in Virginia, the variety is much larger than maybe in the Mid-South, where there's very large contiguous, you know, cotton fields. And so what we did was we had our sampling area was 500 to 1,000 feet, and we tried to go towards the central part of the field and sample within a 500 to 1,000 foot sampling area where we made the X with both sampling techniques. Because some fields were just so massive, and with trying to sample, you know, 15 to 20 fields in a day, which you just couldn't, you know.
No rhyme or reason between the east side of the state, all over the west side of the state, all west
side of the state. Oh, yeah. For the most part. Yeah, it's kind of a hodgepodge in Virginia. Overall, smaller production.
All right, we're out of time. Good job.
Thanks, Angus.